Hello, Scorpio, and welcome to part two of your vision quest reading. I pulled a couple of runes for you, and they tell a little story. It's interestingly, curiously similar to the Taurus reading, your opposite sign across the dial. The artifact I've chosen is kind of straightforward. It's the eagle, which is the esoteric symbol of Scorpio. There's a few different symbols, but that is the one that is the height of Scorpio is the eagle, and a powerful, beautiful, predatory bird that symbolizes what should be the best assets of the United States of America, at least, and symbolizes the best assets of who you are. Okay, so there are some interesting similarities to your astrology here. The first rune that comes up is the rune of breakthrough, Degas, breakthrough, transformation, day. And so that sets the tone of the whole process that you're in, which is saying that whatever else you might think or feel, or what you've been through, or how inconvenient things have been, or the stress and the strain of change and progress, you are in a moment of breakthrough. Now, the next one is the rune of possessions. This is, I believe it's called Fehu. It's the proto letter F. There's another one that's similar with the little antennas pointing down. And that's about communications. The Fehu is about possessions, and it is actually related to the rune of possessions, which is Ansu's. In that one is about all things mercurial, including trading. This is about possessions. So you might say we're going from Ansu's, which is about Mercury and trading, to something a little bit more Taurian about the nature of your possessions and your resources. And so much about your astrology is about possessions and resources. You know, for example, Saturn in your second house is about your relationship to your own money. And if I didn't say so before, it's really important to be cautious, conscious, and careful with your money, and to make sure that you're not squandering your funds during this phase, and that you are investing, that you're saving some no matter what is going on, no matter how challenging that is to, you know, squeeze until you get some juice you can set aside. Jupiter in the eighth house, talking about investments, and so there's a question here about your resources, your possessions, your degree of grounding in material life. Now, in theory, that's supposed to be easy for you, but I never take any of these kind of usual things that are supposed to be true for the science to be especially true, though you are resourceful. And I think that one message of Saturn going through Sagittarius is to understand your resources in their great diversity. Really important to have resources, be aware of resources other than money, other than, this is the one resource everyone wants because it's convertible, seemingly convertible into every other thing in the world. But the thing is, there are many other things, including, most importantly, your friends and your intelligence, your ability to think originally, your ability to define problems in a way that can be solved and to solve them. And this is important to consider a resource and a possession of your own. At the center of the spread is relationship, and it certainly would seem that that makes sense, given the fact that Jupiter has been working your relationship angle, and it still is, and is descriptive of some kind of, would look like some kind of a sacred union. Let's take a look at the relationship angle of the chart, just as a prompting here of yours. So let's see. That means we want to look at, we want to look at, ominous. I don't mean it that way. And then look at Venus, which is back in Sagittarius. Okay, so one thing here is to question the whole dogma of relationships as possessions and people as possessions, and that includes acting possessively. This is also described in today's astrology of Mars conjunct Juno, but it's also described having the ruler of the planet associated with your opposite sign, relationships, Taurus, that being Venus, in your house of possession. So in a way, I think I would summarize that counsel as being value rather than possess. Perhaps requiring a transformation there and a an exploration of that and, you know, applying that idea to the mix, to value rather than to possess. Because certainly your relationships are a kind of an asset, but they're an asset to appreciate rather than an asset to act in a way that is overburdened with onerousness or ownership. In addition, one of the factors that has now entered your seventh house of relationships, that being Taurus, is a planet that does not have a name. It actually does exist. It exists out beyond the realm of Pluto just a little bit. Pluto's orbit is 250 years, and the orbit of this thing is about 290 years. It's called 1992 QB1. And it hasn't been named for a number of reasons, including the fact that the discoverers, one of whom I know, just doesn't want to name it. So I think that forevermore, it will have the distinction of being 1992 QB1. And it is notable, exceptional, in that it is the first planet orbiting our sun ever to be discovered beyond Pluto. This is huge. It went unnoticed by astrology. No one really cared. Few people knew about it. I was given an ephemeris shortly after the discovery because I had the connections to get the ephemeris, and I was in the right place at the right time, back before this could all be easily done by computer. And QB1 has been in Aries up until last year or so, at which time it may have moved in late 14 or transitioned from 14 to 15, but basically for the first approximately 22, 23 years of being aware of it, it traversed the entire sign Aries, and now it is in Taurus. And the thing with QB1 is that it is so profoundly associated with what you might call holding sacred space in relationships. It is very similar to Vesta in that regard, in that it is a guardian of sacred space. And Vesta's big in your chart this year on the midheaven, conjunct Varuna, another of the newly discovered planets, immediately just outside the realm of Pluto, right? We're still in the very first few of those with these early discoveries. And so they, two of these things have changed signs, and they've changed signs onto the fixed cross, so they're prominent in your chart. And the message of QB1 in your relationship house here, riffing a bit on the prompting in the rune formula to look at relationships more carefully, is saying that it would be brilliant if you understood the way in which your relationships are designed for you to hold sacred space, to come to terms with yourself, and to do what I call coupling with yourself, forming a union, a bonding with yourself. Only this is not the kind of bonding that you form in the absence of others, but rather it is the kind of bonding that you form that is facilitated by, witnessed by, honored by others. And so this is another way of saying that the people that you want as your intimate partners are the people who are respectful of your inner process, your inner alchemy of joining yourself. And that is a criteria. And the presence of the relationship rune, that being, I normally write all the Nordic names of the runes down, but I didn't do that. Gebo, the big X in the middle of the spread. is saying that everything orients on your process of relating and interrelating. And it would seem to be a time to go to a new level with that, whether you have not been in relationship for a long time, which is possible, to start to choose the ways in which you want to encounter people, or if you have been in one kind of mode with someone for a long time, to look for ways that that can evolve and take a step up and a step forward. But again, this orientation is right in the center of things. And it's interesting that it doesn't show up so glaringly in your chart, but when we look, 1992 QB1 is there, and it is saying that relationships are now less about being, you know, like the comfort zone, or purely utilitarian, like to share the rent or to have ready access to sex. Rather, there's a new level that you're going to, that you're accessing, and that is about, again, the holding of sacred space. I'll be doing a lot more about this in the spring reading, which is going to be devoted to Tantra. I see the subject keeps coming up in these readings, and it's asking for attention. And I think that there's a sufficiently quickened relational consciousness and sexual consciousness to be able to contain a teaching on this subject. So look for that pretty soon. Next rune, flow. Now, here's a little rune joke. It's saying that there's something that you have to give up in order to flow, and the thing you have to give up in order to flow is the fixed quality of Scorpio. So I remember I was saying, what is fixed water anyway? Is it like ice? Is it moisture trapped in something? Is it an underground sea? What exactly is fixed water? Well, I would say that to whatever extent there's such a thing as fixed water, that water wants to thaw and flow. And it may feel like you have to give up the kind of, to use a Freudian term, anal retentive pleasure of staying the way that you are, of withholding. And so this is the opposite of withholding. This is about moving to the music, flowing like a river, rather than kind of gathering alkalinity like Rift Lake in Africa, a fascinating place with some really beautiful fish living in it. Okay, so the last of these runes is the rune of fertility. And there is a, this is, you know, breakthrough and relationships and flow, and then, and fertility is saying, you know, be mindful, first of all, be mindful of the pregnancy thing. If you're of that age group that you can conceive, you want to do this consciously if you want to do it, and to be mindful that accidents happen, and usually they can be avoided and prevented. And so you need to take control of your pregnancy prevention if you indeed want to prevent pregnancy. And if you don't, there's kind of an open invitation in the form of being shown that you are fertile, and you're fertile many other ways. Fertility is not just about having a baby, but really fertility is about the quality of the mind that is able to indulge in its creative process and able to indulge in its freedom. Now, this is a great rune. It's called Ingus, and it's on page 107 of the Book of Runes. So I'm going to read you the commentary by Mr. Blum. Okay, fertility, new beginnings, the hero god. Here is what it says. A little light on the subject here. This rune is akin to the moon, the intuitive part of our nature, with its urge to toward harmonizing and adjusting in the sphere of personal relationships. And by the way, if you look at that rune, you can see that it's constructed of the same two elements as the relational rune, only it's almost like they're pushed closer together and they are intertwined in a kind of yab-yum position, kind of wrapped around one another. The completion, okay, wait, there's one more sentence. Ingus embodies the need to share and the yearning to be desired, a search after similarities. The completion of beginnings is what Ingus requires. Drawing this rune may mark a time of joyful deliverance, of a new life, of a new path. A rune of great power, receiving it means that you now have strength to achieve completion, resolution from which comes in the form of a new beginning. Above all, completion is crucial here. Completion, completion, keep saying this. It may be timely that you complete some project now, and if so, make that a first priority. Perhaps a difficult state of mind can be clarified or resolved. The appearance of this rune indicates that you must fertilize the ground for your own deliverance. All things change, and we cannot live permanently amid obstructions. Ingus signals your emergence from a closed, chrysalis state. As you resolve and clear away the old, you may experience a release from tension and uncertainty. You may be required to free yourself from a rut, habit, or relationship, from some deep cultural or behavioral pattern, some activity that was quite proper for yourself when you were for the self you're leaving behind. The time of birth is always a critical one. Movement can involve danger, and yet the movement that is timely leads out of danger. The time has come to enter the delivery room. Another of these cycle runes, Ingus counsels preparation. Being centered and grounded, freeing yourself from unwanted influence, and seeing the humor, you're indeed prepared to open up to the will of heaven and await your deliverance with calm certainty. All right, so kind of a preparation indicated, and then, you know, pausing. So I would suggest focusing on the preparation, and that can mean reaching for completion or closure in any unresolved relationship situations. You know, rather than doing what is often done on our planet, which is leaving things hanging. So resolve, complete. And this process of resolution and completion is the thing that opens you up to this new phase into which you are being born. Okay, I think that's all I have to say. Might have more. I'll figure out a way to get it to you. You will next hear from me with the spring reading of 2016. I'm also planning the Born in the 60s reading for people born in the 60s and the Book of Your Life for people born in the 1950s, looking at generational astrology in this series I started last year called Generations. So maybe I'll see you there. All right. A pleasure, as ever, working with you. And we're going to go out with some kind of a drum beat, but I'm not sure which one that is. So there it is. It should be written down someplace for you to look at. And once again, thank you and big love. Bye for now.